This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 373¾, up 4½. March corn, 386½, up 4½. May corn, 395½, up 4½. November soybeans, 1066½, up 39. January soybeans, 1064, up 38¼. March soybeans, 1067½, up 37¼. December wheat, 525¼, up 8. March wheat, 530¾, up 3½. May wheat, 538¼, up 3¼. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices, they ended mixed on Monday afternoon with corn and wheat higher and soybeans lower. In today's USDA crop production report, there were no changes in the Illinois production numbers, but the report did lower the average yield for the U.S. corn crop from 174.2 in October to 173.4 in today's report. The U.S. soybean yield increased from 47.1 in October to 47.5 in today's report. And in today's crop condition report, 87% of the Illinois corn harvest is now complete, with 91% of the soybean harvest done. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 4 cents at 331 to 346, while soybean bids were down 11 to 12 cents at 973 to 1004. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at 328 to 352. Soybean bids 10 to 11 cents lower, ranging from 993 to 1024. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended steady to a penny higher at 319 to 347. Soybean bids down 5 to 12 cents at 975 to 1031. And wheat bids mostly 2 cents higher on Monday at 420 to 454. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 11 to 22 cents lower at 10.08 to 10.41. Bases ended steady to 10 cents weaker, ranging from 18 under to 15 over the January. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $4.1590 to $4.3790 per ton. That's down $9.50 to $10.50 per ton, with bases steady to a dollar lower, ranging from 35 to 57 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 2 cents at 361 to 369, with basis steady range from 8 under to option the December. Illinois river barge loading elevators, they quoted their producer corn bids mixed at 339 to 349, with basis steady to 5 cents lower, range from 30 under to 20 under December. Soybeans were down 14 to 15 cents at 1016 to 1028, with basis down 3 to 4 cents, ranging from 10 under to 2 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mixed at 366 to 369. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 14 to 23 cents, with quotations at 1044 to 1048. Soft red winter wheat mostly 2 cents higher at 497 to 517, and the Milo did end 2 cents higher at 399 to 405. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 342 up to 355. January soybean bids at 994 to 1018. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 343 up to 362. January soybean bids 1002 to 1034. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 351 to 367. January soybean bids 1011 to 1041. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 471 up to 512. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 167.25, up 12 cents. February live cattle, 168.40, down 12 cents. April live cattle, 167.50, down 5 cents. November feeder cattle, 238.85, down 17 cents. January feeder cattle, 232.65, down 10 cents. March feeder cattle, 230.55, up 25 cents. December lean hogs, 89.90, up 35 cents. February lean hogs, 89.45, up 35 cents. April lean hogs, 91, up 20 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you Monday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 2 cents higher in the range of 73 to 88 with the weighted average carcass price of 85.42. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading sharply higher with moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 60 to 68, 4 to 5 weight 66 to 73, 5 to 6 weight 68 to 75, and 600 pounds and up 70 to 77. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts and country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $58 to $60. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 13,276 head. And now for the report from the November bred cow sale at Greenville. Starting with the medium and large first stage young, they were $1,800 to $1,900. Medium and large second stage young, $1,700 to $3,700. Bred cows, medium and large third stage young, were $2,000 to $2,900. On to large second stage young cows, they were $2,100 to $4,500. Large second stage middle age cows, $1,800 to $3,800. Large second staged age cows were $1,250 to $2,000. Bred cows, large third stage middle age were $1,825 to $4,200. And on to the cow-calf pairs, medium and large one, middle-aged, $2,350 to $4,300. Medium and large one, aged, $1,700 to $2,875. Now in the direct cattle trade, we have no reportable trade to report today. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 271 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $93.79, and that was 95 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $249.14, that was 3 cents higher, with select carcasses at $239.15, that was $1.08 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 108,000, that compared to 113,000 last week and 108,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000, that compared to 432,000 last week and 392,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.53. December corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.74. November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.47. December corn delivered to Scottville, $3.65. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.46. December beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.65. November beans delivered to Scottville, $10.46. December beans delivered to Scottville, $10.65. November wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.69. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.53. Corn at Scottville is $3.47. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $10.46, and wheat at Scottville is $4.69. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area on this Wednesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Taking off a large crop this fall? Use your yield monitor to put back just the nutrients you used. Talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service will provide you with the latest innovations of precision farming technology, and with their expert analysis and recommendations, you'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Discover how M&M can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today to find out why they're your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Becoming partly cloudy today, high temperatures in the low 30s. We will have northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, low temperatures in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy skies, highs in the low 30s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, becoming cloudy with a slight chance of snow Saturday night and Sunday. Low temperatures in the low 20s, high temperatures in the mid 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, west winds at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. Our temperature, 28 degrees under cloudy skies. And over the past 24 hours, WSMI weather watcher Kyle Schmedeke of Irving, a trace of precipitation. Once again, 28 degrees at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by CHS Shipman, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust. Now with 13 locations to serve you. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh next.
Trust in a bank develops over time, not in a few months or years, but over decades and in some cases, centuries. CNB Bank and Trust roots go back to the mid-19th century with the founding of a bank in Carrollton in 1854. Records show this to be the oldest continuously active bank headquartered in Illinois. CNB Bank and Trust is proud to be celebrating 160 years of banking excellence. CNB Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and Illinois' oldest bank, established in 1854.
Hi, I'm Joe Huebner, CHS Yield Point Specialist at CHS and Shipman. With our new Yield Point program, we can help take your yield and profit to the next level. By analyzing multiple layers of data, we can create a customized variable rate prescription map for N, P, K, and even seeding. Let our Yield Point Specialist team show you the true value in your field by using our Yield Point prescription, N, P, K, and seeding maps, along with your ground truth data. Call me, Joe Huebner, at CHS and Shipman today.
For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, now it's just kind of a consolidation for the grain trade after USDA released its latest production estimates and updated its supply and demand estimates both domestically and globally. The focus starts to shift to South America. USDA has made its last production estimate adjustments most likely until January, and so we'll see an increasing focus on South American weather. And, of course, traders will continue to monitor the weekly export data that comes out for corn and soybeans and wheat, as well as the crush data and for soybeans and ethanol grind for corn. So they'll be monitoring those demand issues. But on a day-to-day basis, we're going to see increasingly a focus on South American weather. Right now, that South American weather is very good, very favorable for good yields. It's very early in the growing season, so there's time for things to change. But really, as we go through the next 60 days, we really start to set the tone for what the weather pattern is going to be in South America, how big a crop we're going to be. The CONAB, which is Brazil's equivalent to our USDA, came out with estimates to start off the day of their soybean production at somewhere between 89.3 to 91.7 million metric tons. That's around 3.3 to 3.4 million, billion bushels of soybeans. That's well below local private estimates that have been as high as 96 to 98 million metric tons. That's providing a little bit of support for the soybean market as we head into the new week, as well as the tightness of stocks that we continue to see due to strong demand for soybeans and soy meal.
To help get a better feel for what stage of growing season South America is in, Suderman drew some parallels between their growing season and ours.
Yeah, so draw some parallels, and there are some differences, but overall you could say that they're really kind of in mid-May of our growing season to draw some parallels between us and them. So there's plenty of time yet to go for the market. But as we look at their growing season, it tends to be spread out over a long period of time. As far as they have a wide window in which they can plant, it's just that the earliest soybeans then they can follow with a second corn crop, which is called their Safrina corn crop. And so that's probably the more significant question is getting the soybeans in, get them harvested so they can plant a full season corn crop then behind that, and what will that corn crop produce? Right now it looks like the improvement in moisture situation in Brazil is allowing them to catch up with their soybean planting. They're still trailing the normal pace, but they are making rapid strides toward catching up, and they now have good moisture for establishing the soybean crop. And for now, I think we have to assume trend or higher soybean yields. But then the question is, the delays that they had in soybean planting, how much will that delay the soybean harvest, therefore delay the Safrina corn planting, and will that push the corn pollination then into their dry season come 6 months from now? And so that's the big question at hand. It's too soon to be able to answer that, but right now we can assume normal soybean yields, and then the questions will be about corn down the road.
Back in the States, we are expecting some snow on our weather forecast, but Suderman says that this weather shouldn't really affect the markets too much.
Well, that's one of the difficult things, because for the individual farmer that's impacted, it's very significant. But for the nation's crop as a whole, we're talking about 1% to 2% of the nation's crops that are unharvested that are affected by the snow. So it's a relatively small percentage overall, and therefore something that traders really aren't paying a lot of attention to, maybe a degree of support level. But really what this cold weather that's ushered in the snow is going to do now is it's pushing the storm track far to the south and to the east. And so for the next 10 days to 2 weeks, we should have some pretty good weather, drying out weather, so to speak, for continuing to harvest this year's corn and soybean crops. Right now there's just 10% of the soybean crop and 20% of the corn crop still in the field nationally, and the bulk of that is going to be in pretty good conditions for getting out over the next couple weeks.
Suderman also addressed how the prolonged harvest and the cold weather will be affecting the planted wheat acres.
That's an ongoing debate right now, primarily in the Midwest. The plains have been largely planted. The Midwest is where the big delays are, and specifically Missouri and Illinois are the greatest concerns. I think there's no doubt we will see some reduction in acres. The question is, will farmers want to go in and plant late when the soils are going to be so cold and not really be able to get a crop established, and wheat prices really don't look that attractive? So if we had a tighter supply, this would probably be a more bullish factor, considering the fact that USDA is projecting an abundant supply of this year's surplus carried over to next year. It's not much of a market factor at this point. But basically, we can say that about a quarter of the nation's winter wheat crop that is planted is going to be going into dormancy, lacking good development, lacking the type of root system that it needs to be able to handle harsh winter cold if there's no snow cover at the time that harsh winter cold arrives. So it's something we're going to have to continue to monitor throughout the winter, not just here, but we have very similar conditions in Russia too, over about 50% of Russia's winter wheat belt. Here again, if they have good snow cover, we should be fine come spring. If they don't have snow cover and a harsh winter cold comes in, then we could have some real problems.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. For the past couple of years, University of Missouri Extension has been using Global Positioning System collars to track cattle every second of the day to learn more about their grazing preferences. MU Extension forage specialist Rob Kallenbach says cows tend to be pickier than you might think.
We have found consistently that there are plants that they like a lot, and they will almost always graze those plants or pick them off the smorgasbord, if you will, first out of the pasture. That gives us some ideas about how can we develop efficient pasture systems.
Kallenbach says increasing pasture efficiency over the next 20 years is vital to feed an ever-growing world population.
In the next 10 years, world demand for livestock products is expected to increase 30%. And at the same time, in the Midwest, the number of acres of pasture has gone down over the last 10 years. That puts a tremendous amount of pressure on pasture systems to be more productive and more efficient because we're using them to supply 80% of the feed units that are used to produce beef in this country.
Kallenbach says this GPS information will help producers raise more cattle on a smaller number of acres. This week, I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about healthy snacking.
Well, the key is, you know, everybody snacks, but the key is we want people to select snacks that are healthy snacks because snacking really can contribute quite a few nutrients if they're selected properly. So what we want people to do is select nutrient-rich snacks and foods, and these are foods that provide the most vitamins and minerals for the fewest calories. So, for example, an 8-ounce serving of 1% milk provides protein, calcium, vitamin A, vitamin D, and other important nutrients that our body needs. If you compare that to, say, an 8-ounce serving of a sports drink, that gives us 50 calories, but it does not give us any nutrients, and those 50 calories basically come from sugar.
So they're empty calories.
They are, yes.
And why is it so important to focus on these nutrient-rich snacks, just to make sure we're not consuming a bunch of empty calories?
That's one of the things. And, of course, it gives us a positive way to look at foods because we can look at a food and say, okay, if I select this, and basically if we look at the five food groups, I know that if I select from one of those five food groups, I will be getting eating a food that will provide valuable nutrients in my diet.
So what kind of snack foods can we choose from that are nutrient-rich snacks?
There are so many. Basically, what we want to do, again, is just look at the food groups. When we're looking at things like fruits, you want to select brightly colored fruits. If you're having a drink, if you want it to be juice, then look at that container. Make sure it is 100% juice. So many people buy something thinking that it contains a large amount of fruit juice, and if you carefully read the label, you will see that it only has like 10 or 15% fruit juice. So read the label. That's very important. So along with that, we also want to select vibrant colored vegetables, and really the color is the key. Deep yellow or orange fruits and vegetables tend to be good sources of vitamin A, and we know citrus fruits are great sources of vitamin C, so do look at the color and select those brightly colored foods. If we're eating grains, we want to make sure that they are whole grains and that provides us with lots of fiber in the diet. For dairy foods, we want to select fat-free or low-fat milk, cheese, or yogurt, excellent sources of many different nutrients. And then for protein foods, we want to look at lean meats, things like poultry, fish, eggs, and also beans.
And one of the problems that we have here in America is that we are overfed, but we're undernourished. And I'm sure that our snack foods are contributing to that.
Well, probably as, you know, lots of people snack, and that is true. One of the things we tend to do is we will grab foods that are convenient, but that doesn't mean that they are nutritious foods. So on one hand, we are getting plenty of calories, and that's true for both adults and children. On the other hand, we are getting calories that usually come from things like sweets and fats and aren't providing those important nutrients that our body needs to maintain health.
A Twinkie is pretty easy to grab.
It is.
And I've heard a lot about the benefits of protein. Should we focus on snack foods that have protein in them?
Protein is important. It's kind of the nutrient of regard right now. And the reason for this is actually protein foods provide us, they give us satiety. They make us feel full. And that's important because many of us snack because we're between meals. We feel hungry. So if we eat foods for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and even snack foods that have some protein in it, it will keep us feeling better and less hungry. And this is especially important for young children, too. They do snack a lot, and those snacks should provide key nutrients in the diet. And certainly providing protein foods is a benefit to them.
Very good. All right, Joyce, are there any final thoughts you want to give us before we go here today?
Well, I would just remind everyone they can check out our webpage, which is stldairycouncil.org. And also, if they're looking for dairy-friendly recipes, check out our Facebook page, and you can find us at STL Dairy Council.
Again, that was Joyce Fickrey of the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.